Genesis chapter 48, verse 11. And Israel, that's Jacob. That's the name to which God changed his name. Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. Now we'll get back to that verse in a minute. Lord and Father, help us understand thy word, apply it to our hearts, give us strength and joy and courage in it. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Yesterday, we had the delightful opportunity to celebrate the 100th birthday of a man whom we had known and loved as part of our body and part of the service of our people for a great many years. I had the opportunity to have a devotional at the beginning of that time of celebration. And Friday night and yesterday morning, I began thinking through the Bible, thinking about the lives of several of the aged men who are described. And I'm going to kind of limit those aged men to the Old Testament portion of the Scriptures today, because there are a great many of them. But I would call your attention to four, just as kind of setting our thoughts. The first one is the man Abraham. Abraham was a man that was called to make a huge change in his life at 75 years of age. Pack up and move. He was to move from Ur to a land that God would show him, and when the journey started, he didn't even know where that was going to be. Now that was a pretty good statement about this man at 75, but even greater than that, he was a man who was told when he was 90 years old he was going to father a child. And he believed God. Job, a man whom history indicates to us, was a contemporary of Abraham. The book comes later in the Bible, but there are reasons for history to indicate that he probably lived around the same time that Abraham lived. Job was a man who was a wealthy man. Job was a man who was a well-known man. But Job was a man who virtually lost everything that he held, including 10 children. And yet he was a man who in his age was blessed to live to see even more than what he had had to start with. Moses, a man of whom we're told there were three phases of his life. There was his young man in which he enjoyed the activity of the palace in Egypt and all that went with it. The middle section in which he was a shepherd out in the backside of the wilderness. The third section in which he became the leader of a stubborn and stiff-necked people. And yet as he drew near to the end of his life, the Bible tells us that at 120 years of age, he was a man whose strength was not abated, whose hearing was not lessened, and whose eyesight was not dimmed. And yet he was a man who had gone through tremendous stress. 120 years old. And then there's Jacob. Jacob was a man who was loved of God. You remember, he's a man who, of whom the Scripture makes the statement, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. He was a man who was loved of God. And yet he was a man who demonstrated considerable frailties and failures in his character and his behavior. He was a man who took advantage of his brother. He was a man who took advantage of his father. As a matter of fact, the name Jacob translates from a word which literally means a supplanter. He would take advantage of people. He took advantage of his uncle Laban. Laban tried to take advantage of him. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So Jacob was a man who, as he aged, believed God, because God told him that when he left running away from his brother, that he would come back. He was a man who experienced a great deal of stress, like Job. He was a man who, like Moses, continued to have strength, though it was not totally unabated. We'll see in just a few moments. And he was a man who, well, based on this verse, he was a man who saw more than he ever thought he would see. Have you ever made that statement? I never thought I would see this. I never thought I would live to see. We often make that statement looking at some things we think are kind of bad, and if things are getting bad, I never thought I'd see it come to this. But let me tell you something, folks. If you and I are honest, God demonstrates to us again and again and again His goodness in such ways that we, like Jacob, would have to say, I never thought that I would experience this. Now look with me at the immediate circumstances around Jacob. Genesis chapter 27. I got 47 on there. But I want you to, that should be Genesis chapter, Genesis chapter 47 is right. I got a mistake and I'll correct it in a minute. 47 is correct. Genesis chapter 47, Joseph is now in Egypt. He's back with Jacob is back with Joseph. You know the story of how Joseph had been sold into slavery and how Jacob thought he was gone. And then Joseph reveals himself to his brothers through God's mercy, and Jacob winds up back in Egypt with Joseph. Jacob was carried in before Pharaoh. And I want you to notice this particular verse, this particular statement, because it sets the stage for us. Genesis chapter 47, verse 9, Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. I'm 130 years old, Pharaoh. Few and evil have been the days of my life, and they have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And I'll show you something in a minute that verifies that statement. I'm 130 years old, and I ain't lived as long as my parents did. That tells you how old Jacob is now. Okay? And he just come into Egypt, and he lived in Goshen for a period of time before he died. At the time of our text, in this passage in chapter 48, he's nearing his death. Joseph had been told, your father is sick. And he took his two sons that God had given to him in the land of Egypt, and he carried them and stood before his father. His father wasn't like Moses, because his father's eyesight was failing. And Joseph took his sons and put the oldest on Jacob's left, or on Jacob's right, that would have put him on his left. So Jacob would put the right hand on the older child to bless him. And he put the younger son on the other side. Guess what? Jacob could see well enough. He crossed his hands because the blessing went on the younger of the two. So you see, Jacob was a man who was 130 years old. Jacob was a man who knew he was about to die. Jacob was a man who had two grandchildren in front of him whom he had not known until this point in time in his life. And Jacob looked at him and he said, "I never expected, Joseph, to see you again. And yet, not only did God let me see you, God let me see your two sons. I never thought." Now that's not just a statement about Jacob. Folks, let's look at some circumstances here a minute, because I want you to see how they unfold in our lives as well. I want you to see that you and I could say, "I never thought that I would see the bounty of God's hand in my life like I have seen it." Look in the life of Jacob. Chapter 27, and I think I've got 47 your handout. I've got the wrong verse in there. Chapter 27, verses 41 through 43. This passage is the familiar passage where Jacob had taken advantage of Esau, and Esau had decided he hated Jacob and he was going to kill Jacob after his father Isaac had died. "Behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee." Jacob's mama said, "Esau is waiting till your daddy dies, and then he's coming after you." And so she goes in chapter 28 and tells Isaac, "You know, you really need to send Jacob. Esau's already married, and he married some woman from around here that I ain't got no use for. You need to send him back over to where my kin folks are and let him find a bride in the old home country." And so Jacob sends Esau. I'm sorry. Isaac sends Jacob. I get all the names running around the wrong way. Isaac sends Jacob over to the land of his mother's brother, whose name turned out to be Laban. No, that's his mother's nephew. His mother's brother was Bethuel, and his son was Laban. Get the generations right. And so Jacob goes to Laban, and he could say then that when he left, his father was already an old man, and he really never thought he would see his father alive again. He was running to save his own skin, and he didn't think that he'd see his father. But 20 years later, he made the statement to Laban that he had worked for him for 20 years, and he had four wives, and he had 10 kids, and he had a bunch of flocks. But God said, "Arise and go back to Bethel." And so he packs up, he leaves. Now he's a man in what we would call middle age. He's 20 years, he's been there 20 years. He's got grown kids, and he goes back home. But notice in Genesis chapter 35, verses 27 and 28, Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arbok, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 84 years. Now you do the math. Isaac was 180 years old We have a hard time imagining 120. We have a hard time wrapping around our heads around a life like Brother McKinley's yesterday at 100. And yet this man was 180. That's why Jacob would stand before Pharaoh and say, "My years at 130 are not as long as my daddy lived." But I'm going to tell you, Jacob, for the first time in his life, could say, "I never thought I'd get to come back and see my father again. He was an old man when I left. I never thought I'd get to enjoy this again." Jacob now comes, and he's more than 130 years old, and he looks at his son, and he said, "I had thought that I wouldn't see your face." You remember Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery and then told his daddy, "Oh, an animal killed him." So all these years, Jacob had thought that Joseph was dead. Jacob had thought that he would never see him alive in this world again. And then, lo and behold, during this time of famine that followed, there came the time when his brothers went to Egypt to buy food. And guess who was sitting on the ruler's chair when they got to Egypt? They didn't know it. But you're familiar with the story of how Joseph later revealed unto his brothers who he was. And one of the first questions he asked, based on their statement, was, "Is my father well?" Yep. And here, wagons, go get him and bring him back down here. There's five more years of this famine. You go come down here and I'll take care of you. And they go home and they tell Jacob, "Daddy, guess who we found?" How hard do you think it was for them to make that confession? They had to make it to Joseph later on too. But you see what has led up. Jacob had been a man who had run, and then God in mercy had revealed to him something marvelous. And then again, bad things happened, and God revealed unto him a marvelous experience. And right at the time when he's about to die, he looked at his son and he said, "You know, I never thought that I'd see your face again. And now, God let me see your sons." And I can just imagine in my head how another expression could very well have followed. Jacob would have shaken his head and said, "Joseph, ain't God good? As bad as my life had been when I thought I lost you, here I am. God's given me not only you, but another generation that I've never seen. I never thought." Now, brothers and sisters, what I want you to think with me today is not just the emotionalness of Jacob's experience. I want us to look at some lessons. Lesson number one. The circumstances we now live in and that we see about us do not govern God's plan. Isaac lived in a circumstance where Jacob was no longer there. 20 years he lived in that. But God brought Jacob back. Jacob lived in fear of his brother because his brother wanted to kill him when he left home. But his brother welcomed him back. Jacob lived without Joseph, his most loved son, for all these years. And yet God brought again that generation. You see, the things that we live in now are the things we tend to focus on. We live in a situation where the virus is rampant, and it gets talked about and it gets described, and its effect is just repeated again and again and again. We live in a culture of change, and we talk more about what things have changed and what they're not like what they used to be. And we often miss the fact that what we see doesn't govern what God's going to do. I never thought I'd see the goodness of God in the way that I've already seen it in my life. I don't know what He's going to do yet. Why should it surprise me so when He does it? And yet it does. I never thought. But you see, your circumstances don't control God. What we expect does not dictate what God decides to do. After the circumstance, Jacob expected not to see Joseph, but he saw him. You see, we live with our expectations, but God is governed by our expectations. God works by His plan, not by the changes forced by man's decisions. Jacob deceived his brother and had to run away from home. Laban changed Jacob's wages many times over 20 years of labor. Laban deceived Jacob in the same way Jacob had deceived Esau and gave him a different woman at first. And he wound up with four. And he had constant conflict in his life because of his deception. And yet, God worked through that plan to bring the 12 sons, which became the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel, which fulfilled the promise made to Abraham two generations earlier that said that he would have a seed that was as numerous as the stars of the heaven and the sands of the seashore. God works His plan, and His plan isn't dictated by man's choices. Many choices are made today. Some of them are good, some of them are not. But I'll tell you today, folks, when I read those words about Jacob yesterday, early yesterday morning, that phrase stuck at me that Jacob said, I never thought. Why did Jacob not think that he would see these great and good things that God wound up doing? Because Jacob made choices that didn't point that way. How many of us have made choices that we look back and think it points us away from the goodness of God rather than to the even greater sight of the goodness of God? I never thought. When we experience the marvels of God's gracious plans for our lives, we will be surprised. But we should not be amazed or unbelieving. They'll catch us by surprise. But how many times do we say, oh, I can't believe that. Why is it so hard to believe that God is able to do all things exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think? You see, we like Jacob come to the point in our life when God's goodness just overwhelms us. I never thought that I would get to have the blessings that I've been given. This is a verse. I used part of this passage of Scripture yesterday in talking about Brother McKinley. The hoary head is a crown of glory when it be found in the way of righteousness. Talking about an old man. Then he makes a statement that doesn't seem to fit, but it does fit. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. You know, when we get older, we learn how to control our emotions and our reactions. And we learn how to deal with circumstances. But then comes this verse. Again, when you just read it by itself, it doesn't seem to fit, but it falls right in line. The lot, the chance, is cast into the, just to use our probably a term we'd know better, the dice is rolled in the lap. The chance is tossed. But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. You see, our chances come, and our lot is cast by the choices we make. But the ultimate disposing of our lives, the ultimate plan of our life, the ultimate passing of our life is of the Lord. It's not of our choice. It's not of circumstance around us. It is God's goodness that brings to pass our lives. And God does it in a way. Paul said, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." You see, folks, our lives are to be to the glory of God as His church. We are the church. We are the called out. We are the ones that God has called by His grace and by His mercy. We are His body. And yet we're like Jacob sometimes. "Jacob have I loved. Lee have I loved. Your name, put your name there, has been loved of God." And yet sometimes we forget that God does more than we can grasp. Oh, my situation's so bad. Just wait, folks. You're going to see more goodness from God than, as the old saying I grew up with in Tennessee, you're going to see more than you can shake a stick at. I never thought that I'd get to see one thing. And here I have got two. You see, God gives us double blessings. God gives us bountiful blessings. And then, like I talked with the children today, with all the blessings we have here, we have the entire inheritance of Jesus Christ that awaits us in heaven. We're joint heirs with Christ. He died to forgive our sins, and we are given a promise of an inheritance that is everything He has. We'll be where He is. We'll be in the Father's house. We'll even to see the descriptions, the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, all of those things that are given us to understand what Paul said, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." I never thought I'd see this. You see, folks, God's goodness is better than our choices. He tells us to make wise choices, but we make mistakes. But His goodness is not governed solely by our choices. God's goodness is bigger than our circumstance. And you and I will get the opportunity at times in our life to have those moments that simply blow our minds. It just blows me away to see what God does. And I have to be like Jacob. "Joseph, I never thought." Have you been there yet? How many things in your life can you sit here today and say, "God did it, I never thought I'd see that. God did it, I never thought I'd experience that." Now, let me tell you something. That gives us an even greater responsibility. When He does it, to Him, be glory in the church, in our lives. How? By Jesus Christ. Throughout all ages, Abraham glorified God. Isaac glorified God. Jacob glorified God. Joseph, when he died, told all of his kinfolks, "Listen, when you're going to leave Egypt one of these days, and when you leave Egypt, you take my bones with you. You're going back home." From one generation to another, throughout all ages, world without end. Oh, beloved, I could say with Jacob as I shake my head today, "Ain't God good? I never thought I'd see
the marvel of His grace that He's bestowed upon me in my life. Oh, but He has. And He's allowed me to see more than I can fathom. And I'll tell you, if we keep breathing, if God doesn't take us home today, if Jesus doesn't come back today, we'll see it some more. So it ought to be a phrase that fits in our vocabulary. Not for the bad things, but for the good things. I never thought I'd see this. May God be praised for what we have seen. Father in heaven, thank You for the goodness of Your grace and graciousness. Thank You that You loved us enough to redeem us in Jesus Christ. Thank You that You sent Your Son to die for us. Thank You, Father, that You sent Your Holy Spirit into our lives to call us into Your family. Thank You for the promise of what You've given us in heaven, but thank You for the daily blessings that You give us in this life. And Lord, when they overstretch our ability to comprehend, and we scratch our heads, we say with amazement, as Jacob said, I never thought. But Lord, help us to look for what You will do. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.